The term Day of the Lord in Scripture, what does it mean? We're going to discuss it in a new series. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, I'm Dr. Fred, and I want to thank you for following me and listening to my sermonettes, if you want to call them that. I'm starting a new series while I keep my other one going. This is on the Day of the Lord, and I think most people would agree that in order to understand the meaning of words and phrases, context must be considered. And that's in any form of speech. We're not talking just about the Bible, but certainly it applies to the Bible as well. Without context, it is difficult, if not impossible, to come to a right understanding of the text or word in question. Now, for instance, if I asked you the meaning of the word left, L-E-F-T, you would be forced to provide me with several definitions. You might also ask me a few questions about that word, or even say something like, look, would you mind using it in a sentence? Go ahead and use it in a sentence, and then I'll tell you what it means. Using the word left in a sentence determines the meaning. So here's example one. I'm going to turn left at the next intersection. Example two. I only have $5 left in my wallet. A third example. That person is left of center politically. Now, in the above examples that I've just given you, two of them have to do with direction. The first one has to do with turning a specific direction based on a compass. The second one has to do with how much money I have remaining in my wallet. The third one has to do with where a person sees themselves on the political scale, right, left, or center. So it should be clear to everyone that the word left, though spelled the same way in all three examples, clearly has a different definition from the other two usages. In fact, if we just go to like dictionary.com, for instance, and we look up the word left, it becomes clear that this same word can be used as a noun, an adjective, or even an adverb, and that depends on how it's being used. To be certain of the meaning in any particular usage, context has to be taken into consideration. In fact, context is really the only way that the exact definition for the usage can be determined. Take the word day. When the word day is simply stated by itself, people normally think of a period of 24 hours. But is that the only definition applicable to that word? No, of course not. For instance, here's an example. Example one. We will go to the library one day next week. Example two. Back in my day, movies cost 75 cents to get in. All right, those are two good examples. In each of those examples, it's clear that in the first usage, the word day means a certain period of 24 hours. We're going to go to the library one day on a particular day next week. Now, that's not to say that the trip to the library is going to take all 24 hours, but that an event, a trip to the library, will happen at some point during a specific 24-hour period. That's the case with respect to the creation itself as well. In Genesis 1:5, we read the following. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. So there's another definition for the use of the word day. Day is often during hours that people are normally awake, when it is light outside. But God also clarifies here in Genesis 1:5 by saying, in this 24-hour period, evening and morning, that is a period called a day. And even though some people try to say, well, what God really meant was, each day represents millions of years, they have to stretch to get there. That's not the meaning of the text. Had it been that way, I really don't think that God would have included, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. You can't make it any more any more succinct, any more clear than that. Now, in spite of this clarity built into Scripture, though, there are those, as I said, who believe that the day being referenced here could have been one set of a million years, thousands of years. Those folks tend to believe in theistic evolution, where they will say, oh, God got the ball rolling, created the whole thing to begin with. He got the creative process started. Then he stepped back and let things evolve. But see, that's not what Scripture says. Colossians tells us that without God holding everything together, it wouldn't stay together. And the fact that God directed Moses to include the phrase, as I mentioned, there was evening, there was morning, one day, is a very, very specific way. It's a pictorial way of letting us know what God actually meant. Still, too many choose to allegorize Scripture in cases like this when there's virtually no point to it, no reason to do it. All they wind up doing is changing God's intended meaning. That's my belief anyway. Now, the second example that I gave above is more of a colloquial usage. And for instance, when somebody says, oh, in my day, what they're really saying is back when I was younger, back when I was growing up, back when I was a kid your age, depending on who they're talking to, during that time period happened years ago. Someone who is proficient in English would easily understand both examples as well as be able to discern the difference between them. Now, that brings us to the phrase, the day of the Lord. I believe it's another one of those subjects that people like to discuss and even argue over. And for some, it means a certain length of time when the Lord will do a specific work. In that case, while it culminates in the return of the Lord on a specific day, yes, he is going to come back one particular day during one particular 24-hour period. But the phrase day of the Lord includes other events as well. For instance, some believe that the tribulation period begins the day of the Lord because we can clearly see from the opening of the very first seal in Revelation 6, which also coincides with the beginning of the tribulation period. And for that, I'd like you to maybe turn to Daniel 9:27 for clarification on that. You can do that. You can either pause this or look at it later, Daniel 9:27. But the Lamb there, the Lord, is in full charge, and he is pouring out his wrath as he opens each of those seals. And that's very important for us to understand. Now, because the Lord fully directs all the action of the tribulation in Revelation 6, and that action occurs from the throne room of God in the third heavens, it's also included as part of the day of the Lord. The entirety of the tribulation period is seen by some as his wrath being poured out on a world that has continually refused and rejected him. The fact that the Antichrist confirms a covenant with many, Israel's leaders, I believe, in Daniel 27, is the event that starts the day of the Lord rolling. The tribulation is the final seven-year period of man-led human history, yet it's very dramatic, unfolding of the Lord's wrath being poured out onto this earth. Once these 7 years are completed, the Lord will return physically. This is part of the day of the Lord, though some believe that only his actual second coming is the actual day of the Lord. Now again, that the day of the Lord starts with the beginning of the tribulation seems apparent. And I'm going to spend some time dealing with this specific scriptures as we get into this series that also point to that, if not this particular episode, then the next one. So in other words, I'm going to try to get to some of the scriptural references that I'm going to focus on in this particular episode. If I don't, we'll definitely get them next time. So stick with me on this. But Jesus comes back. It includes his physical return. And there are those that believe that once Jesus returns, judges the nations, Matthew 25, sheep and the goats, then establishes his millennial kingdom, these events are also included in the day of the Lord. I'm one that tends to believe that. It seems clear enough from Scripture that that seems to be the point. And it seems clear enough that since Jesus will be directly and intimately involved in things on this earth from the beginning of the tribulation until the end of the millennial kingdom, we can refer to these things as the day of the Lord. Now, again, there are obvious differences of opinion. But here's a question. Should we beat each other over the head if we find ourselves in disagreement with another brother or sister in the Lord? Hardly. We should agree to disagree and understand that our main mission here on earth in Satan's kingdom is to be behind enemy lines, introducing as many people as possible to Jesus. That is our primary goal, and it's called the Great Commission. We'll come back next time with more of the nitty-gritty with respect to the meaning of the day of the Lord. And we're going to try to answer whether or not the term refers to one specific day or a span of time. We're going to be searching through God's Word to do so as well. Please join me then and bring a Bible. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.